بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن أظلم ممن منع مساجد الله أن يذكر فيها اسمه سعى في خرابها. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So we continue with the discussion of the mushrikun attempting to block the da'wah in the early Islamic in the early period of da'wah. So on one occasion, the Quraysh, they gathered. And they gathered because now the da'wah of Islam was beginning to spread and the season of Hajj was coming. And the season of Hajj would draw in many people outside of Makkah al-Mukarramah into Makkah al-Mukarramah.
Come on, you can hang out with your friends. It's cool. Just leave it alone. Sorry about it.
And so some of the leaders of Quraysh, including Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, and others, but especially Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he gathered leaders of Quraysh. And he turned to them and said that, Ya ma'ashr al-Quraysh, O group of Quraysh, verily upon us is arriving the season. And verily the wufud al-Arab, the various representations of the groups of the Arab will be coming upon you. And وَقَدْ سَمِعُوا بِأَمْرِ صَاحِبِكُمْ هَذَا. And they've heard the affair of your companion, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They've heard what's happening with the spread of this one man's message, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he's making the claim that to leave the religion of your forefathers, and this is why people come in this season. So basically, there's a discussion. We have to do something. And so he said, فَأَجْمِعُ فِيهِ رَأْيًا وَاحِدًا. We should come to the conclusion on one statement. We have to gather upon one statement. What was the reason for gathering upon one statement? Because now if some of the people are saying that he is a magician, and some of the people are saying he's a madman, and some of the people are saying he's a poet, then it'll become clear that everyone just has an opinion about him, but the goal is what? To not listen to him. If everyone has scattered opinions about him, then the goal will be the same. The goal will be that, the result will be the same. The result is that you just don't like the man, so you're trying to say whatever is necessary to get him to stop preaching the message. In order for us to actually make it seem like something is wrong with him, we have to agree on one statement. So, أَجْمِعُوا فِيهِ رَأْيًا وَاحِدًا. We have to come to a conclusion on one opinion, one statement. وَلَا تَخْتَرِفُوا. And فَيَكْتِبُوا بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And not have some of us prove the others to be wrong. Or show others to be lying. So they turned and said, فَأَنْتَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الشَّمْسِ. Oh, you, Abu Abd al-Shams. فَقُلْ وَأَقُمْ لَنَا رَأْيًا نَقُولُ بِهِ. Stand up and give your opinion, and we will align ourselves in accordance to it. So he said, قَالْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قُولُوا أَسْمَعُوا. Like, you give your opinion, I will listen to what you have to say. Let's not take only one person's opinion. Let's begin to see what everyone can come up with. Whatever is the best statement, whatever is the best route that we can take, we will take that route. And once if someone has a good proposal, then I will listen, and then we'll all join on this. So فَقَالُوا. So they began to say, نَقُولُ كَاهِنٌ. We'll say he's a sorcerer. Let's say that he's a sorcerer. This is a really good opinion that we can go off of. We can call him a sorcerer. We can call him a magician. And so, Al-Walid ibn Mughira, he said, look, ma huwa bikahinin, he's not a sorcerer, we know this. Because we've seen, laqad ra'aytul, really we have seen the people of sorcery, and he doesn't have their quiet whisperings. And he doesn't carry himself the way they carry themselves. So he's definitely not a sorcerer. So then some of them said, naqulu majnoon, we can say he's crazy. Let's just agree that he's a madman. And then so he said, ma huwa bi majnoon, he's not a madman. We have seen the people who are crazy. We recognize them. We know of the repetitious movements of the mouth and the way they carry themselves and the way they go around whispering. He doesn't do that either. So then they said, okay, fine. We will say he is a poet. Naqulu sha'ir. We'll say that he's a poet. And then he turned to them and said, ma huwa bi sha'ir. He is not a poet. He's not a poet. We know the habits of the people of poetry. We know their verse. We know how they express themselves. He does not fall under the category of being a poet. So when they had proposed all these, then they said, فَنَقُولُ sahir. We'll say he's a magician. Not a sorcerer. We'll say, sorry, kahin, the better translation than sorcerer would be like a palm reader. Palm reader. Gahan's like a palm reader. But now they're saying Sahir. We'll say that he's a magician. He's a magician. And then so he turns to them and said, but he's not a magician. We know the way the people of magic are, and we know the effects of their sorcery, of their magic, and he doesn't, فَمَا هُوَ بِنَفَثِهِ وَلَا أَقَدِهِ. وَلَا أَقْدِهِ. He doesn't do the blowing into knots. He doesn't do those things that the people of sorcery do, of magic do. So then they said, so what should we say? Look, we gave you the best options we have. Palm reader. We gave you that he's a palm reader and fortune teller. We gave you that he's a madman. We gave you that he's a poet. And now we're giving you that he's a magician. And you said no to all of these. So they said, فَمَا نَقُولُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الشَّمْسِ. What should we say? You tell us as our leader. Because Al-Walid ibn Mughira at this point had grown very old. He had grown very old. He had very eligible sons, meaning that they were fit to lead, but he was an elder chieftain now. His sons were the up-and-coming individuals. So he thought that, okay, we can't go upon any of these things. But if we had to decide on one of these things, if we had to decide on one of these things, then let us call him let's call him a magician. Let us call him a magician. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually takes this conversation. I'm trying to pull it off in the Quran right now. He takes this conversation and he preserves it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this incident took place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized this moment and he revealed to the world the entire incident. And these verses are very frightening. These verses are very frightening. Because now the Quraysh have come to the conclusion, though it's not the best decision, we'll call him a magician, we'll call him a sahir. And they knew there's even weakness in this statement. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him, the conclusion makes no difference. And this is the first principle we learned today. It's not the conclusion. What difference does it make to Allah if they call him a madman, or someone who's insane, someone who's a palm reader, someone who's a magician? It makes no difference whatsoever to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond this. It doesn't stop anything. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives is not looking to see what end we reach. He's looking what is the path that we reach to that end. So now he sees that rather than Al-Walid remaining silent or not being involved, Al-Walid has led this effort. So he captures this moment. He says, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Very frightening. ذَرْنِي, leave me alone. وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ, and the one I have created, وَحِيدًا, leave us alone. meaning I will take care of him. وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا. And he's the one who وَجَعَلْتُ, I have given لَهُ for him مَالًا, much, much wealth. مَالًا مَمْدُودًا. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. And those strong young men who were present with him, who have a lot of future within the, who are his sons? Name me one son of Walid bin Mughira. Khalid bin Walid. Who's another son? Walid bin Walid. These are not small people. You think the father of Khalid, this is, radiallahu anhu, this is a big deal. It's a big person. So he says, وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. Allah Ta'ala says, and his children who are present. وَمَهَدْتُ لَهُ تَمْهِيدًا. And bring everything forth in front of him, making things easy for him. ثُمَّ يَطْمَعُ أَنْ أَزِيدُ. Then this man, he desires that I should give him more. كَلَّا إِنَّهُ كَانَ لِآيَاتِنَا عَنِيدًا. No, this was the one who stood opposing our verses. سَأُرْهِقُهُ سَعُودًا. What I will do is I'm going to make it sufficient for him to have to scale this. It says arduous torments. That's what it says in the translation. But the sa'uda, it refers to scaling this huge mountain in the hellfire. That's extremely slippery. And trying to crawl his way out and just keep falling down, his efforts have no fruits come from his effort. Just like in this dunya, no fruits came from his effort. In the hereafter, in the hellfire, no fruits will come from his efforts. إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. Verily, he thought deeply. وَقَدَّرَ. And he deliberated. He thought things through. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. May he be destroyed of how he plotted this plot. ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. And this is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim who's speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying at this moment, إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. We're going to let everyone know to the end of time that this man, this old chieftain, he sat and he began to think deeply and he began to plot. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. May he be destroyed the way he plotted. ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. Then again may he be destroyed for the way he plotted. ثُمَّ نَذَرَ. Then he thought, he looked. ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرَ. Then he frowned. And then he had this look of unhappiness. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. Then he turned back. And then he became proud. How? Because that was, he said, look, these suggestions you're giving, they're not sufficient for me. This will not help us at all. But ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ. Then he turned back in his word. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. And he was proud. He thought maybe this could be a solution to stop Islam from spreading. فَقَالَ. So he said, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سُحْرٍ سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرٌ. That verily this is magic that is being portrayed. This is portrayed magic. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. This is just the statement of a human being. سُؤْسْلِيهِ سَقَرٌ. We will make him come forth into the saqar. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا saqar. What will make you understand what saqar? لَا تُبْقِي وَلَا تَذَرُ. That it lets nothing go, and nothing is left behind, untouched, unscathed, unburned. لَوَّاحَةٌ لِلْبَشَرُ. That the skin becomes scarred. عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرُ. And 19 severe angels guard over that place. Now look, he could have just stayed quiet. Why am I mentioning that? Because you'll see shortly that people allowed their intelligence to do the speaking for them. But he was so, he knew. Now he's not a magician. But he was too worried about preserving the way of his forefathers to even consider the foolishness of his statement. He basically said, this is not going to work. So what we'll do, we'll take that. Imagine if you have a coach that says, look, we have to beat this team. This is not going to work. So what's our plan? That's our plan. You have a teacher who's training you for PSAT or plan or ACT or SAT. So they say, here's some strategies that won't work. Why don't you use that strategy? You know, you have to take a Kaplan course for your MCATs or something. And they come and say, you know, these are failed strategies. So go ahead and use this strategy. This is exactly the obstinance and the pride that he was displaying. So Allah Ta'ala has held them to account. So now they began to spread the word that this is the statement of a magician. This is the statement of a magician. So don't come close. Do not allow your ears to hear what this magician has to say. Verily, if you let your ears hear these words, they will penetrate into the ears and get to the mind and cloud your judgment, and you will fall victim to this magic. Now, interestingly enough, they began the propaganda. And one thing that you know about propaganda is oftentimes it bites the person who spreads it. It's like the one who tries to tame a snake. Eventually they get bit. So, in fact, you know, after 9/11, what is consistently one of the top bestsellers in the world today, especially in the West? The Quran. All of the propaganda has led people to think, well, let me see what this book has to say. And then they read it. And then it's the fastest growing religion in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care about what we do. He does not need us. He looks to see what are the means that we're choosing. His end will come regardless. Allah, the end is for the people of piety and belief. Now, what happens over here now is that the author, may Allah reward him, he begins to speak about a group of individuals who are taken as examples of what happens to those people who try to avoid, they try to get them to avoid the message of the Prophet ﷺ. And so in this futile attempt to get them to avoid the message of the Prophet ﷺ, he gives an example of a few different Sahaba radiallahu anhum who accepted the religion based upon their efforts to stop the word from spreading. The recording? Oh, that's fine. It's being recorded online. That's cool. We always have a backup. Your mind will record it. You just spit it out later, inshallah. So the first one, it begins with Dhimad al-Azbi. Dhimad al-Azbi, he, when he came into Makkah al-Mukarramah, he had already heard the accusations against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Dhimad al-Azdi radiallahu anhu was actually very interested in all these accusations because he was someone who practiced medicine. And in particular, he was someone who tried to avail and cure people of their insanity. He tried to cure people of their insanity. So now he's hearing the statements, Sha'ir, Kahin, Sahir, Majnoon. That piques his interest. Now if they didn't mention these things, his interest might not have been piqued. But they hit the nail on the head. He's a madman. Oh, perfect. I treat madmen. Let me go help him out. So now you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes their plan and uses it against it. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ They plot and Allah plans and Allah is the best of planners. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ And they plot and Allah ta'ala plans and Allah ta'ala is the best of planners. So now he comes in and he goes to find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then he finds the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he turns to him when he hears that he's crazy, and then he said and he says faqala law inni ra'aytu hadha ar-rajula la'anallahu yashfihi ala yadi, I think it would be yadi in this case, that if only I could somehow meet this man. If only Allah allows I can meet this man, and Allah allows me to cure this man. Here he's coming to cure the Prophet ﷺ, quote unquote, and the Prophet ﷺ gives him cure. So now he approaches the Prophet ﷺ, and when he approaches the Prophet ﷺ, he presents himself. And when he presents himself, he tells him that verily he's been, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has been able to cure many, many people. He's been able to cure many, many people who are insane. So let me help you. So what do you think? So the Prophet says, fine. He responds by saying, Inna alhamdulillah. Verily all praise is for Allah. Nahmaduhu. We praise Him. Wa nasta'inuhu. And we seek His assistance. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, they will not be misguided. وَمَن يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whoever he misguides, they will not be granted guidance. وَأَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And I bear testimony, there's no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحْدَهُ, he is one. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, he has no partners. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمَّا بَعْدُ. So he says this, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger, and hereafter, قال. So when he says, أَمَّا بَعْدُ, he gets to this point. Those of you who are familiar, that's known as the khutbah. When you begin, that's the khutbah, that's the introductory statement. He reached Amma Ba'd. He didn't even start the message yet. What did he say? He turns to him, and he says, أعود علي كلماتك هؤلاء. Say those words over to me. Return those words to me. Say those words over to me again. فَعَادَهُنَّ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ ثَلَاثِ مَرَّاتِ. So he repeated over to him three times. When he heard this, he said that verily I've heard the statements of magicians, the statements of palm readers, and the statements of magicians, and the statements of poets, and فَمَا سَمِعْتُ مِثْلَ كَلِمَاتِكَ هَؤُلَاء. And I have not heard statements like what you have just said before. So he is now beginning to say, your words, he hasn't, the Prophet has not even gotten to the message yet. He just gave it's like standing up and giving a speech and saying, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I really appreciate you coming out tonight, and I really appreciate you inviting me to this great gathering. Everyone just starts standing ovation. You'd be sitting there, I didn't even get to the meat of the words. You know, I just thanked you for coming. Amazing. I have never heard something. Can you say that again? You want me to say again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for letting me come out tonight and address you? I mean, the Prophet repeated three times. Now granted, there was much more depth in that, those statements, that khutbah, that introduction, than the words I just mentioned. But when he said this, and he returned and he said the words over and over and over, he's Dimad al-Azdi, he turns to him and says, these aren't the words of a magician. And then he turns to him and says that they have affected me deeply. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to him and says, why don't you accept Islam? And he says, I've accepted Islam. So their plot, was that فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. They sat and thought things through. They plotted. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. May they be destroyed. Now already their efforts have been destroyed from all the work that they've done. Now one of the most beautiful things that I find in these examples, actually there's a good point that's brought over here. Let me go to the next person here. That وَعِندَمَا قَامَتْ دَوْلَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. So Dimad al-Azdi, he actually left. He went to his people, and and you know what's interesting? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Hati yadak, abayyuka ala al-Islam, abayyuka ala al-Islam. Extend your hand, give me your hand, and take bayah for me for Islam." So what happens? قال فبايعه. He gives bayah. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet ﷺ said, "وَعَلَى قَوْمِكَ." And he says, "وَعَلَى قَوْمِي." He says, I've given you bayah, and on behalf of my people, I'm giving bayah to you. Meaning, I'm going to go back and make them Muslim as well. On one occasion, the time of Madinatul Munawwara, when the Sahaba were passing through this region, and then one was asked, هَلْ أَسِبْتُمْ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ شَيْئًا. Did you take anything from these people? Because they were coming and they were on a conquest. So wherever they were conquering, they were taking the ghanima from them. And one person, yes, I took one thing from them. I took a small little bowl from them, a purifying container. So they said, رُدُّوهَا, return it. فَإِنَّ هَؤُلَىٰ قَوْمُ الدِّمَادِ. This is the people of Dimad, meaning we don't conquer them, they've already accepted Islam. He was an early Sahabi who the propaganda of Mecca bit them, and he became Muslim due to that propaganda. And there's various lessons that we learn from his life. One lesson that we learn that I just find absolutely amazing, And it's just so heart-wrenching when I think of this lunch line. Because I just think of my life and how many failures I've had personally. Look, who's ever heard the Quran? All of us. Some of us have memorized the Quran. Some of us had the opportunity to study hadith after hadith after hadith. In the last year of Madrasa, we study over 40,000 hadith. Some of us had the opportunity to study the entire tafsir of Quran. We've gone to the different opinions. Some of us had the opportunity to listen to the entire Quran on audio, CD or something. Or on in Taraweeh prayer. How many of us have had this experience? I mean, it's just so sad. I think to myself, that I stood in Taraweeh prayer. I listened to the words of my teacher. I went to Madrasa for X amount of years. And I went to Madrasa for X amount of years. I studied the hadith. I studied the words of the Prophet ﷺ. And what's the result? The yaqeen didn't grow. And people like this, they came. And all they had to hear, was, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمَّا بَعْدُ. We hear this every week in Jummah. And their hearts flip 180 degrees and they become the best of believers. So it's one of the lessons that we hear, that we learn, is the fact that an individual, when an individual is listening, when the individual is listening to the words, there has to be a level of talab and purity. Some people come to gatherings for the sake of entertainment. They come to gatherings for the sake of entertainment. Oh, let's see what the scholar has to say today. If we come with talab, if we come with yearning, if we come not because it's my weekly habit, or not just because I want to enjoy myself, but actually to gain benefit, Allah Ta'ala will not leave a person empty-handed. Who here today came with the intention, oh Allah, I'm going to the gathering to hear about your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, increase my love for him? Who actually sat and said that? Who after Maghrib raised their hand and said, oh Allah, we're about to hear about the life of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me see him in my dreams tonight. Increase my connection to him. And we've become people without purpose. The people of the past, every step was magnified through some sort of intention. And the purity, it took effect. That they would hear just such few words and their lives would flip upside down. And the second lesson we learned, especially for the orators and the people who have to give khutbah and speeches, the Prophet ﷺ did not have to go and give 30 fiqh opinions and say that, did you know that in the Quran, this embryology, and that didn't even exist over there. He had to give the basic oneness of Allah and people's hearts flipped. So it shows the power of the purity of the heart that's speaking. Sometimes we think, if I can give a really good bayan, if I can get this many verses, this many hadith and quote this in Arabic, all people will be blown away. Yeah, they'll stand up, they'll give you 30 takbir Allahu Akbar. But what did it really do for the person who goes home then sleeps through Fajr? There were times where our teacher sat with us, and we've all experienced this, and they were just quiet, and we left feeling rejuvenated in our iman. And they didn't say a word. They did not say a word. Because the heart that speaks has to be pure and has to be powerful. Thus, if anyone ever has to give a khutbah or a talk, etc., prepare for that talk with the ilm, but prepare for that talk with the ibadah as well. Get the heart to be purified so it can relay the message that's supposed to be sent to those people who are listening. The next lesson that we learn from the story of Dhimad radiallahu anhu is that no matter how much efforts those who try to end Islam make, no matter what efforts they make, they will always fall short. They will always fall short because it's Allah Ta'ala's plan in the end. And there's some other lessons that are going to come connected to other Sahaba. The next one is Islamu Amr ibn Abasa. The Islam of Amr bin Abasa as-Sulami radiallahu anhu. So, okay. So Amr bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, as-Sulami radiallahu anhu, كنت أنا في جاهلية أظن أن الناس على ضلالة. So Amr bin Abbas, one thing that we know was from the very beginning, he says this, and this is actually in Sahih Muslim. قال عمرو بن عبسة السلمي كنت وأنا في الجاهلية أظن أن الناس على الضلالة. That verily in the time of Jahiliya, I used to think that people were misguided. They were on an incorrect path. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَيْسُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. And they had no substance or foundation in their life. وَهُمْ يَعْبُدُونَ الْأَوْثَانِ. And they used to worship idols. وَسَمِعْتُ بِرَجُلٍ بِمَكَّةَ بِخَبْرِ أَخْبَارَ. And then I heard about a person in Makkah al-Mukarramah who was speaking بِخَبْرِ أَخْبَارَ. يَخْبَرُ أَخْبَارَ. That makes sense. يَخْبَرُ أَخْبَارَ. That he would inform them about very, very special news. Now, what was the news? So, فَقَدَعْتُ عَلَى رَاحِلَتِي. I mounted on my animal. فَقَدَمْتُ عَلَيْهِ. I went towards him. فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُسْتَخْفِيًا. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the message, and he was doing so in a way that's hidden. He was, you can say mustakhfi as being hidden, or you can say slowly, or you can say in a stealth manner, gently, you know, these meanings. He comes forth, and now he approaches him. When he approaches him, he says, ma anta? He turns to the Prophet and says, what are you? Not man anta. Ma anta, what are you? He said, ana nabiyya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am a messenger. فَقُلْتُ وَمَا and what? Because Nabi is someone who gives information, and so he says, وَمَا نَبِيٌّ. What's a messenger? He says, remember, these people, they haven't had a prophet in their. It's not like it's Bani Israel, where prophet after prophet after prophet came. They haven't had a prophet for quite a period of time. So he said, وَمَا نَبِيٌّ. Let me see how much time I have left. Okay. وَمَا نَبِيٌّ. What's a prophet? قَالَ. So he said, أَرْسَلْنِي اللَّهُ. Allah has sent me. So فَقُلْتُ بِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ أَرْسَلَكَ. What message that has he sent with you? قَالَ أَرْسَلَنِي بِصِلَةِ الْأَرْحَامِ وَكَسْرِ الْأَوْثَانِ. He sent me to join the hearts together and to break apart idols. وَأَن يُوَحِّدَ اللَّهُ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْءٍ. And that we believe in Allah alone, and they will not associate partners with Him. Then he asked, "فَمَن مَعَكَ عَلَى هَذَا?" Who is with you on this path? So the Prophet said, "حُرٌّ وَعَبْدٌ." حُرٌّ وَعَبْدٌ, a free man and a slave. Meaning who? Abu Bakr and Bilal, radiallahu anhuma. It's very early in the deen. So he says, a free man and a slave. So then he says, إني متبعك. إني متبعك. That verily I'm going to be one who follows you. So the Prophet turns and says, إنك لا تستطيع ذلك يومك هذا. That on this day of yours, you're not going to be able to follow me the way they follow me. ألا ترى حالي وحال الناس. Don't you see the situation of my situation and the way that people treat us? ولكن ارجع إلى أهلك فإذا سمعت بي قد ظهرت فأتاني. When you hear that I have become dominant over people, then come to me. So Amr bin Abasa radiallahu anhu, he goes back to Medina to Munawwara, and he's always inquiring about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Finally, he hears the Prophet has been successful. He's migrated to Medina to Munawwara. And so he comes to Medina to Munawwara. When he comes to Medina to Munawwara, he comes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, أتعرفني? Do you recognize me? The Prophet ﷺ says, نعم أنت الذي لقيتني بمكة. You are the one who met me within مكة المكرمة. Now, why is this important? And then the Prophet ﷺ told him how to pray and how to do wudu. In this story, we see some very important lessons. The first lesson that we see is that when this man came to the Prophet ﷺ was very crafty. Actually, take a step before that. When the Prophet ﷺ told him the message, did he say, we pray X amount of prayers and we fast, although Ramadan wasn't prescribed, then we do this? No. He gave the basic principles of the deen. Here's a principle I want to call you to. Sirat al-Arham. We bring the hearts that have divided, we bring those together. And what else do we do? And we're going to break the idols. Now, in reality, they had no strength to break the idols at that time, but the Prophet ﷺ did not hide key parts of the message. He didn't go and say something like, "Ooh, the people of Quraysh, they love idols. Let me not mention how much we hate idols. Let's just speak about the good things of Islam that don't contradict them." No. He was very clear that these things are against the crux of our deen, so we speak against it, we act against it. But look at the first thing he says, Sirat al-Arham. that in this community that cares so much for uniting hearts together, my Lord calls me to bring hearts together. Don't listen to those rumors that I'm trying to split people apart. So he's engaging people at their level. The Prophet said that my Lord has ordered me what? أمرني ربي أنزل الناس منازلهم. To approach people according to their stage. When he approached Fatima radiallahu anhu and gave her da'wah, he didn't speak on a PhD level. And when he approached Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he didn't speak to him like a stranger. And when he approached Uthman radiallahu anhu, he didn't speak to him as an impoverished person. He spoke to everyone at their level. So we don't hide things about our deen. And we mention that which is important and that which engages people. And they can have some sort of relative connection to it. And then we see finally, the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? Is the pizza here? That's not what he said. Abdul Wahab, is the pizza here? Is the food here? So we should wrap up now, right? What are we looking at? 8:40? 8:30? And what time are we looking at stopping? What time are we looking at stopping? Okay, so I'll start wrapping up inshallah. Yes, I just realized I said it the wrong time. So the Prophet ﷺ did not say, is the pizza here? The Prophet ﷺ, what did he say to him? He said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَسْتَطِيعُ. Verily you will not be able to ذَلِكَ يَوْمَكَ هَذَا. You will not be able to follow this. You're not going to be able to follow it. So we don't overburden people either. What happens? A person becomes Muslim. What do we say? Okay, now that you're Muslim, let me tell you about Islam. 29, 30 days of the year, no food, drink, or marital relations. Jazakumullah khairan. They say, wait, no what? You know Ramadan? Yeah, I've heard of Ramadan. Yeah, that's 18 hours fasting. So you start tomorrow. And then Fajr. What's Fajr? Fajr is the 3:30 prayer, the 3 o'clock prayer. I'll be at your door knocking in the morning. No, we take it step by step. We don't decline. We don't lower the deen. But we allow people to attain it at their level. Let them become comfortable and let them fall in love with the deen. The same Sahaba radiallahu anhum, some Bedouins would come and say what? That tell me about Islam, don't give me too much. So the Prophet would tell them basic principles. They would say, La azidu la anqus. I'm not going to increase, I'm not going to decrease it. The Prophet would say about them what? If he is true to his word, for him is paradise. We have to let people function at their levels. Not everyone's going to be able to do what everyone else does. We have to look with the eye of mercy and the eye of scrutiny to be able to determine that. Now, a few other things, let's just move on. Islamul Hussein al-Walidu Imran. So Imran bin Hussein, or according to some pronunciation, Umran bin Hussein, a very famous rawi in Sahabi the Prophet ﷺ, a famous rawi of hadith. So the Quraysh, he was actually an elderly person, al-Hussein. So he, جاءت قريش إلى الحسين. They came to Hussein, radiallahu anhu, and they used to consider him to be a high person in society, and they said, كلم لنا هذا الرجل فإنه يذكر آلهتنا. Speak to this person of ours, on our behalf. Because verily he says things about our gods. And he speaks ill of them, he curses them. So they, so they came with him, until they came to his door, or near his door, حَتَّى جَلَسُوا قَرِيبًا مِنْ بَابِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And they stopped there, and they let Al-Hussein go in. When Al-Hussein went in, he turned to the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, that what is this that's been told to me? That you are cursing and speaking ill about the gods of our forefathers. And your fathers used to worship them and thought good things of them. فقال, so he said, yeah, Hussein, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ أَبِي وَأَبَاكَ فِي النَّارِ. Oh Hussein, verily my father and your father in the hellfire. رَضِيَ anhu. Now, I'm not going to spend time on this, except for a few moments discussion. Within the opinions of the ulama, there are four opinions about the place of the Prophet ﷺ's parents. One opinion based upon a hadith like this is that they are in the hellfire. That is one of four opinions. The second opinion, and these are all based on narrations, is that the Prophet ﷺ's parents were muwahidun. In fact, some of the ulama argue that from the Prophet ﷺ, because what did he say? I am the child of nikah, I am not the child of zina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I am the child of proper marriage, not the child of zina. So the ulama do qiyas in this. And they say, if Allah has honored him with proper relationships of all of the parents from the time of Adam alayhi salam to his actual parents, say, how will it be such that he will have the situation that his parents aren't believers? So some of the ulama say that all of his parents were muwahidun. They were all believers in one God. And someone might argue that Ibrahim alayhi's father, Azir, was a believer in idols. Actually, there's a debate amongst the ulama. Some of the ulama say clearly, that wasn't his blood father. That was his uncle who raised him. His father passed away when he was young. And that's a very common opinion within deen. That's not like some rare opinion we're pulling out to make things work. So one opinion is his parents were muwahidun. The third opinion is his parents never received deen. Meaning they were never, deen was never proposed to them. They were never invited to the deen. And because they were never invited to the deen, they can't be held accountable and they died relatively early. Both parents had died at the age of 25. And according to one narration, Imam Suyuti rahimahullah mentions, that has a chain that's strong. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa was given permission before he passed away, his parents were raised, and he invited them to the deen, and they accepted, and they were made to pass away. And actually, if you look at another principle, one of the principles that we see in deen is that every miracle from any Nabi was fulfilled by the Prophet ﷺ or someone within our ummah. So Musa ﷺ struck the stone and 12 bodies of water, 12 rivers flew out of it. The Prophet ﷺ poured water over his hand, and rivers flowed out of his hand. Yusuf alayhi salam was the most handsome people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more handsome than that, according to different narrations. Adam alayhi salam was the first. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saved the best for last, right? Musa alayhi salam had such strength that he can hit a person and it would kill that person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he do to Rukana, who became Muslim, radiallahu anhu? The wrestler. No one ever pinned him. He pinned him 3 times straight. The people could not, when Umar radiallahu anhu came into the room and the Sahaba had to gather to hold him into Darul Arqam, what did the Prophet do? He grabbed him by the collar and yanked him down. He said, when are you going to believe? He said, I believe. You know, that the Prophet had strength. So every miracle he outdid everyone. One miracle that we see raising the dead, there are narrations that mention it because Isa alayhi salam did this. وَأُحْيَى الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ It's in Qur'an. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to keep his height of greatness of nubuwwah, had to have that miracle as well. So this is one of the narrations that support that. So it's not random. So one of the narrations mentioned that they were brought back to life. He proposed the deen to them. They accepted. Then they passed away. This is only a short time before he passed away. And then there's a suspension of judgment. Regardless of the opinion that a person takes, all of us should recognize the following. It is not good etiquette to speak that way about the Prophet's parents. Even if a person believes they're in hell, they should not talk about it. Because it would be painful to the Prophet had he heard it. Thus we just stay quiet. So I only mention this because that statement came forward. The Prophet turned to Hussein and said, Ya Hussein, radiallahu anhu, inna abi wa abaka fin nar. Then he said, then he turned to him and said, Ya Hussein, O Hussein, kam ta'bud min ilah. How many gods do you worship? قَالَ سَبْعًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَوَاحِدًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ That I worship 7 on earth, but only 1 in the heavens. سَلَمْ فَقَالْ فَإِذَا أَصَابَكَ الضَّرْ مَنْ تَدْعُو When some calamity afflicts you, who do you call upon? He said, الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ I call upon the God in the heavens. He said, إِذَا حَلَكَ الْمَالِ مَنْ تَدْعُو When your wealth is destroyed, or halak al-mal, when your wealth is destroyed, who do you call upon? He said, I call upon the Lord in the heavens. So then he turns to him, and he's saying that, have you considered that this God of the heavens that you turn to at all times, he's the only God in the first place? So Hussein radiallahu anhu says, you know, you're right. And sometimes you have to use logic with people. It's the main lesson over here. And sometimes you have to hit people with logic. Yes, sometimes it's about acceptance of belief, but here he just presented the details and facts. In Hussein radiallahu anhu, the father of Imran radiallahu anhu, he said, you're absolutely right. Now what's beautiful here is that when he was leaving, and then he says, yeah, Hussein, and some more conversation takes place. Aslim Tuslim, become Muslim, you'll be protected. Then Hussein radiallahu anhu turns and says, Inna li qawman wa ashira, I have people and I have family, what should I tell them? So then the Prophet teaches them a dua to make the matter easy, to seek guidance and goodness, and to increase him in knowledge that's beneficial. Wazidni ilman wa yanfa'uni. Ilman yanfa'uni. Faqala laha Hussein. فَلَمْ يَقُنْ حَتَّى أَسْلَمْ. That he did not get up till he became Muslim. فَقَامَ إِلَيْهِ عِمْرَانِ فَقَبَّلَ رَأْسَهُ. Imran, his son, stood up. And he kissed his head. وَيَدَيْهِ. And his two hands. وَرِجْلَيْهِ. And his two feet. فَلَمَّا رَأَى ذَلِكَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَكَى. When the Prophet ﷺ saw this, he began to cry. Now why did he cry? He said, I cried because when Hussein, the father, entered the room, وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ, and he was a disbeliever, فَلَمْ يَقُمْ إِلَيْهِ عِمْرَانِ. Imran did not stand up for him. But then when his heart changed and he became Muslim, not only did his son honor him, he stood up for him. When he entered the room, not only did he not stand for him, he did not even turn towards him. The moment he became Muslim, he stood for him. He kissed his forehead. He kissed his two hands. He kissed his two feet. This touched the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now one of the lessons we learn from here is that Rasulullah that we see the action of this sahabi was not condemned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mean that to honor the parents by kissing their hands, kissing their I'm not going to go with feet here because people consider that to be bowing down. All the Prophet did not stop him. Although I'm not going to, whatever, we're not going to discuss it now. We only have a minute. But the idea is that what? Children should honor the parents. And it should not be merely by honoring of words. They should also show physical affection. That softens the heart. Those children who are unable to do so, break it and fake it. What do the ulama say? Do naql, then comes asl. Start with by forcing it, then it will become natural. The Prophet actually, when he saw this, he was very happy. He was very happy. Now there's a couple more. Oh man, we have the story of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu comes next. That's an enjoyable story. Well, that's next week, inshallah. Then after this, we get to the story of Umar radiallahu anhu stories around the corner too. So we have some fun stories coming up. Oh, we have Tulayha al-Asli. That won't be too long. Bilal radiallahu anhu. It's a bit of an enjoyable story. Ammar and Yasir and Sumayya radiallahu anhum. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, great name, great Sahabi. Musab ibn Umar. We have some very good stories. Khabbab ibn Arat radiallahu anhu. We have some very, very good stories coming up. So next couple of weeks, we have to cover the way some of these Sahaba became Muslim. And then we will move on, inshallah. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who learn from the seerah and apply the lessons that we learn. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who attend these gatherings not for entertainment, but for benefit. Wa akhru da'wan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.